Dan Riccio and Randy Jenner. No sarcasm here, I swear. It is Reach Deep here on Sportsnet 650. Now joining us, friend of the show. You follow him on Twitter, @Michael_Trakos. He is with National Hockey, the national hockey writer at Post Media, Michael Trakos. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, not bad, guys. I know you guys are sweating about defensemen, but have you looked at the Leafs in the next couple of years? It's basically Morgan Rielly, Jake Muzzin, and then fill in the blank.
I like fill in the blank. You know what? I think fill in the blank's got a great first stride, makes a solid first pass. He can be quite the player.
There you go. So, I think the Leafs will take a Brogan or, you never know about Ulevi. I don't know if he's still a prospect, if he can still be considered one, but he still has a better chance of making it to the NHL than the Leafs. Like I said, fill in the blank.
Yeah, that's still up for debate if Ulevi is a prospect. But all right, we wanted to talk about the salary cap and some of the things that came out of the CBA. We love comparing Vancouver and Toronto, so let's do it. Who is more worried about the flat salary cap? Is it the Leafs or is it the Vancouver Canucks?
I just filed my column on this, folks, and yeah, the Leafs are screwed. Vancouver wasn't even mentioned in the column because it was kind of like, it was more like Arizona, Tampa, St. Louis, Chicago, Toronto, and you know what? You would love to be the Ottawa Senators right now because you might be getting, like a Yanni Gourde or like a Kasperi Kapanen or a William Nylander for basically pennies on the dollar. But yeah, the Leafs are really screwed. And, my lead was, like in hindsight, signing John Tavares could be a colossal mistake by Kyle Dubas. And, it was one of those ones where you look at the numbers and you're saying, yeah, this guy's not David Clarkson. He's performed, as expected, he's come as advertised, put up a ton of goals, ton of points, has become this team's captain, done everything that you could ask. And at the same time, he's not the player that the Leafs need. And I think when they did get him, salary cap had been rising steadily by $2 to $3 million per year. And now, in the last 2 years, it's gone up $2 million and it doesn't look like it's going to go up by another $2 million in the next 2 years. So the Leafs are going to be in huge financial handcuffs going forward. And like I said, you're going to see, last year we saw Patrick Marleau as part of a salary dump where the Leafs had to give up a first round draft pick for someone to take him and then buy him out. Well, this summer, the Leafs are going to have to shop around Kasperi Kapanen, Andreas Janssen, and maybe even William Nylander if they want to get some help on defense, because the way it stands, I think they only have about $5 million left and they have to re-sign a couple players and save some money to re-up Frederik Andersen in the next couple years, and there's just not enough money to go around. So as good as Tavares has been on the ice, financially, you can't have him, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander on the same team.
Well, Mike, I'm glad you're on the show today because Vancouver needed some perspective. In the last couple of days, cap hell is a word that's been used regarding the Canucks. You just finished a piece looking at across the league and who is screwed. Why aren't the Vancouver Canucks in that conversation? Because here in Vancouver, it seems like the sky is falling when it comes to the cap situation.
Well, they might be in that situation in the next couple of years, but right now you still have your top players on entry-level deals. And this is where the Leafs kind of got in trouble. They looked at Matthews and Marner and Nylander and they said, these guys are on entry-level deals. We'll get them for, X amount of dollars. Well, X amount of dollars ended up being something where the player tacked on another $2 to $3 million each. And it only takes one bad signing for the dominoes to fall. And, that one contract that you think you can live with, well, now you can't live with it because the next two players are also making more money. So, Vancouver's going to get there where they're going to have to make some hard decisions. And, Tampa's been having to make those kind of decisions for each of the last couple of years now. I wouldn't say the sky's falling in Vancouver. And the sky's kind of falling throughout the NHL. Like, name me a team aside from Ottawa, maybe even, that isn't really feeling this kind of cap crunch. And all it takes is like one Louis Erickson contract or one fourth line guy that you're paying way too much money to really kind of drag everything down. But, you know, with Quinn Hughes still on his entry level deal, with Elias still on his entry level deal, things aren't as bad as they could be, say 2 years from now, where you're paying those guys gobs of money and you still have some problem contracts.
Yeah. And that's really been my big takeaway, is just like, you look around the league, everybody's got this problem except for, you know, a handful of the rebuilding teams, like an Ottawa, Detroit, New Jersey, even Buffalo's got some, even though they've got some bad contracts, they've got some cap flexibility moving forward here. It's now a league-wide problem. And I guess the next question is, how do we see that changing? We look at Quinn Hughes, we look at Elias Pettersson, star players coming out of their entry-level contracts. How do you think they'll approach their next deals? Players like that. Kale McCarr can even be in this conversation too. Will they do short-term bridge, or do you think they go for security just because, you know, economics are very much up in the air of the future of professional sports right now?
Yeah, there's two ways to go about it, and that's a really good question. If you think that salaries are going to remain flat, then maybe you're better off signing a bridge deal where you're coming out of it when the salaries and revenues are going up again. Like, obviously, if fans aren't allowed into the building, revenues are going to stay stagnant, if not decrease. But, you know, with Olympic participation coming in 2022 and beyond, there's a chance to kind of grow revenues outside of actual games, chance to kind of put a more of a spotlight. You think that maybe things are going to get better rather than worse in the next 5 years. So maybe we're going to see more bridge deals. Maybe we will, versus, you know what, a team kind of saying, you know, look at the financial landscape. You're not going to get your money this year. So you might as well just kind of swallow hard and just kind of hope that, you know, you stay on that trajectory and you kind of you make your money elsewhere. But it's going to be a tough situation for a lot of these teams and a lot of these players. Like, this is the worst possible time to be a UFA. I don't know how it is to be an RFA, and I guess we'll have to see in the summer.
Yeah, at least with UFAs, you have, you know, some leverage, especially if you're a high-end player. I think that that middle market is going to definitely lose out, and you're going to see a lot of one-year deals. But as long as you're a star, you should be able to make some money, even the Taylor Halls of the world and potentially one or two of those goalies. Looking at today's news, though, Mike, Chris Pronger leaves the Florida Panthers. He's an executive there. What's the word on Pronger as an executive? You know, there's a lot of speculation in every market, especially the Canadian ones, of where he could fit in Vancouver or where he could fit in another market. What's I guess, the scouting report on Pronger as an exec these days?
Honestly, I don't even know what he was doing in Florida. Like, I don't mean that as an insult. I just don't know, like, how the managerial tree worked there. Like, how much was Dale Tallon putting him in charge of? I know Chris Pronger has a great quote, and as a guy who, you know, will really speak his mind, if he's like that with, you know, player personnel, and, you know, giving his thoughts on a player, then yeah, he could be extremely valuable. This is a guy that, you know, even when his legs were sort of abandoning him in the later stages of his career, he was smart enough to always know where to be on the ice. So if that kind of skill can translate in the front office, and here's a guy that's really kind of, you know, put in his time, whether it's with the league or with now the Panthers. Like I said, I don't know exactly what his day-to-day operations were, but I know he does have a lot of respect in the sense that, like I just mentioned, he's a guy that will say it straight and won't be afraid of kind of stepping on anyone's toes. So those kind of guys in a management team are pretty useful in the sense that, you know, you know where you're going to get. He's not going to BS you.
Michael Trakos, our guest. Before we let you go, we are starting to look ahead to August 1st, Canucks and Minnesota Wild. I mean, why should the Canucks be worried about the pesky Minnesota Wild?
I don't think they should, and especially if you're going to get a healthy Canucks team. I really am expecting Vancouver to possibly go further than maybe any other team in the West. I'm going to, or Canadian team in the West. I'm going to go as far as to say that. Like, I almost think that in a sense, they're playing with house money. A lot of their guys, a lot of the young guys have never been in the playoffs. Maybe not, don't know what to expect, but also aren't feeling that same pressure that maybe a Toronto is feeling, where, you know, it's been like three straight years where they get bounced in the first round and another one, another time getting bounced and, you know, the sky's going to be falling. In Vancouver, I think they're almost playing with house money. And Minnesota's a perfect opponent where I think the only thing that could really worry the Canucks is that they get bored to death playing against a Wild team that, you know, frankly doesn't have any entertaining kind of players on offense. So they might be kind of trying to squeeze everything dry for a 1-0 win.
Mike, we love those thoughts here in Vancouver. I'm sure our listeners do. But we always appreciate you coming on the show with us. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And, yeah, hopefully we'll get hockey soon enough.